Well, let me start by asking a very personal question. Do you have someone in your life right now that you are having difficulty forgiving? You don't have to answer that. You can answer it in your heart. If you have someone in your life right now that you have difficulty forgiving, that's the central question posed by our readings. Both the first reading and the gospel today emphasize the vital importance of forgiveness. Forgiveness, it's the bedrock of keeping unity in the family and the community. And for sure, the sins and the injustice that we commit divide us from one another, right? But the unwillingness to forgive is what perpetuates that disunity and division. And unfortunately, there's a lot of both in our world these days, right? Lots of sin and injustice, and likewise, a lot of unwillingness to forgive. Such is the inevitable plight of a society that is increasingly rejecting God and His commandments. You know, we've had a generation now that has had hardly any exposure to church-going environments, right? So this whole past generation, we've seen church attendance decline dramatically. And we've seen that reflected in the moral fiber of our country, haven't we? When people are not reminded, at least at the beginning of each week, to love not only one another, but even love your enemies, to forgive one another, then we don't have that faith formation necessary for a working democracy. That's what, you know, the founding father said, that our type of government is necessitated by a virtuous people. And if we don't have the ability to love one another and to forgive one another, then it's not going to work. And we've had a whole generation that has not heard that message. Instead, what do they hear? Everything that the media tells us, everything that the advertisers tell us. And that's our moral formation these days, unfortunately. If it's not being taken care of at home, the cultural supports are no longer there. And so while the prophetic voices in the scriptures, you know, it warns us about avoiding sin and injustice, today's parable teaches us how the unwillingness to forgive those sins and injustices likewise becomes the cause of our downfall. So let's take a closer look at the gospel to understand how this is so. Peter asked Jesus a question. Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive? As many as seven times? And Jesus gives an answer that basically means you always gotta forgive. And I don't know about you, but when I first heard that, I thought, man, we always have to forgive? Isn't the one that always has to forgive getting the short end of the stick on this one? Well, let's first make clear that number one, forgiveness doesn't mean brushing aside injustice. It doesn't mean trivializing the mistreatment you've suffered. And number two, it doesn't mean being a welcome mat for more injustice to happen again and again. All right? I've known the great pain of betrayal, for example, and I surely don't want it to happen again. But what Jesus does do through today's parable is put our hesitancy to forgive and thinking that we're the ones that's not profiting here, it puts that into context and how that reluctance to forgive only adds to our suffering. He likens the whole thing to a king settling his accounts with his servants, and one of his servants owed him this huge amount that there was simply no way of paying him back. The penalty was that he was going to be sold off, basically, in repayment of the debt because he couldn't pay it. So what happened? The servant falls down to his knees, begs the king to be patient. And what does the king do? He has compassion. Moved with compassion, it says, he forgives. And by doing so, he saves him, his wife, and his children from the fate of slavery to some master who may not be so benevolent. But then, this guy, in a total lack of gratitude for the king saving his life, and not making any kind of connection that he now is called to be patient and merciful to the people in debt to him, he completely blows it, right? Relative to what the servant owed the king, what the fellow servant owed him were mere pennies. But he nevertheless has his fellow servant thrown into prison. But the king gets wind of this, and the unwillingness of that servant to forgive his fellow servant these mere pennies compared to what was forgiven him, it results in him receiving the just sentence of his unrepayable debt, and that is his freedom and all that he has. And at the end, Jesus tells us plainly the moral of the story: so will my heavenly Father do to you unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart. Wow. Now that may seem harsh, but what is truly harsh is the way humanity has treated one another. Even after God himself sacrificed his life in repayment for the eternal debt that we owed due to the violence we inflict upon God and against each other. And like this wicked servant, we may be tempted to think, after receiving forgiveness, that our debt to him wasn't that big a deal. But of course, we make a mountain out of the injustices against us. Now, I don't say that to trivialize the horrible suffering, the grave injustices that some of us have suffered. But I say that to wake us up to the fact that we trivialize the price at which we were purchased from our own unrepayable debt. Right? The king has secured our freedom and eternal happiness with the price of his own blood. And we can sometimes be so engrossed in our worldly affairs that we totally forget the life that was sacrificed in our place. Just as this servant forgot the undeserved joy of having his freedom and being forgiven such a huge debt. And it was probably because he was so engrossed in his own worldly affairs. He had forgotten the generosity that was extended to him. And that's part of why God obliges us to connect with him and to worship him at the beginning of each week, so that we don't forget, so that we can place whatever trials or injustices we may be suffering that week in the context of the freedom and the joy of knowing we have been forgiven for our part in the greatest injustice the world has ever known. What we servants and our sins did to the king, a king who now calls us friends. A king who extends friendship to us while we were still sinners. So it's this paradigm of self-sacrifice and forgiveness that Jesus lived out for us that God now calls us, the church, to perpetuate in the world. That's part of what it means to be the body of Christ, that we are acting in Christ's name for the salvation of the world. And it begins with forgiveness in our own families, in our own personal relationships, and in our relationships within our faith community. I know some of us here right now may be feeling like, Father, how can you ask me to forgive this person who has hurt me so much and ruined my life? But what God's word is teaching us today is the truth that it's not so much these past sins or injustice that's ruining our life. It's our unwillingness to forgive. You know, I'm not talking about someone who's actively sinning against you right now. How to deal with a situation like that was the lesson of last week's gospel. You can find that on our website, right? But let me repeat, today's gospel is teaching the truth that it's not so much the past sin or injustice that's ruining our life, it's our unwillingness to forgive that's ruining our life. That's what allows that injustice to continue to have power over us, and what keeps us bitter and broken, and what robs us of the peace God wants for us. As the first reading reminds us with a very poignant question, could anyone nourish anger against another and expect healing from the Lord? If we're hearing why our prayers might not be heard, it's because we're actively blocking it because of the anger and the unforgiveness. So I want to conclude by going back to the question with which I began the homily. Do you have someone in your life right now that you are having difficulty forgiving? Maybe the injustice we have suffered is still raw. Maybe it's recent. Maybe it's not so recent. But the wounds have yet to fully heal. The clarion call of today's gospel is that it's time to forgive that person. Right now, it doesn't matter, you know, whether or not this person feels like they should be forgiven or not. What's important is to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life and allow Him to heal you by giving you His power to forgive. And so I encourage you right now, if you want, close your eyes and picture that person. And we call out to the power of the Holy Spirit to give us the capacity to forgive as Jesus forgives. We don't trivialize the injustice that was committed against us, but we look to Jesus, who likewise knows the pain of that type of betrayal as He hung on the cross, that type of abuse, that type of death. And He says from the cross, "Forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they do." Give us, Lord Jesus, Your heart of forgiveness so that we can say with sincerity, "I forgive this person. I forgive this person."